how Yeshua's coming brought the two worlds' dimensions together again in Yeshua. It tore that temple curtain in two and made it possible for all of us to go through into this other dimension. Do you follow me? Am I sounding too? Okay, good. Because this is not Twilight Zone. This is reality. Okay? And I want you to get a picture of this because many of us have lost sight of the unseen because we've gotten so used to seeing with our natural eyes that we've become blind in our inner eye, the eye of our spirit and our soul, to be able to see the unseen. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? And one of the curses placed on our people, and I believe it's over the whole world, is from Isaiah 6, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the people, the hearts of these people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they, listen to this, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Healing is a manifestation of the unseen coming in and breaking through the impossible. It's breaking through the natural laws that we are taught from the time we are young, that, you know, if I move this, you know, and, you know, this is because my hand is moving here and doing this. And if I let it go, this water is going to spill out all over the place. But when Yeshua came, he demonstrated that he was Lord over the physical, natural laws. That he created it. One can shape and form it. And so no matter what we look at as facts in this life, oh, I've got cancer. Oh, you know, I really expect God to heal my back. He did 30 years ago when I had back surgery. He supernaturally healed my back. Those at Beth Misar, remember when I was laying on the couch and back in 1982 after my surgery for a whole year. And then God supernaturally healed my back. But it was during that year that I read every book I can get my hand on healing and on the supernatural, listening to tapes. And I filled my heart with the Word of God. And so that I began to eat, drink, and sleep about the supernatural. And that's when I started having prophetic dreams. And God launched me into the supernatural through this experience, you know, being on my back. Not that God would cause such a thing, but he brought something good out of it. And so I know that, you know, maybe God is just kind of stirring me up to get me back and moving in the supernatural. Who knows? But I want you to know that this other dimension is so real. It talks about Enoch walking with God. Can you imagine walking with God? He's a human like us, walked with God, and then he was no more. I mean, he spent so much time in this other dimension, you know, how that takes place, you know, I think it's in the worship, it's in the fellowship, and, you know, it talks about New Covenant Scripture, about the Apostle Paul and John being taken up into heaven, and whether I was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, I don't know. You know, that you can't tell. I've had experiences where if I was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, I'm telling you, but whenever that is that happens to you and you get in a different dimension, you're ruined. So that's what happened to Enoch. He kept on going, crossing over somehow, who knows, in the Spirit, out of the Spirit, in the body, out of the body. But he was experiencing God in such a powerful way that I think his DNA began to be transformed, just like Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration. And also regards to Moses. Remember when he got down from the mountain? His body glowed. That's against physical laws. You can't explain that in your textbooks, your science textbooks. You cannot explain it, right? But he glowed. How can you explain? Oh, there are just so many other stories I can tell from the Tanakh. But I want to focus on Mark because I was reading this. I love it when I fly because I'm above the demonic, you know, stuff going on the earth. And I get such revelation when I'm up above the clouds. A little more space cadet up there, no. But it was just like, even though I've read this so many times, it's when you get to understand more and more what God means when he talks about the kingdom of heaven being at hand. He's talking about this other dimension breaking through. And this is what Yeshua's passion was. He wanted to show the kingdom. He wanted to show what is available. He wanted to show what was lost in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to show us. And so that we won't feel like orphans. So we won't feel this separation. He wanted us to get back into that oneness on the inside of us, the kingdom of heaven coming on the inside in the Holy Spirit, because he didn't want that separation anymore. He wanted that oneness. He wanted that intimacy, you and me and you and everything. And then he wanted to not have you suffer. He wanted to heal. He wanted to set the captives free. He wanted the inbreaking of this kingdom. That's why he died. That's why he came to earth. And he was trying to shake up his disciples. And this is before they had science textbooks. This is before computers. This is before the media. This is before all the stuff that we have that keeps trying to blind us to the reality of the supernatural. And so Yeshua, he had to speak some hard words to his disciples, like, "Hello, where have you been? Don't you get it yet?" Let me think. Do you think that Yeshua said that to them? Okay, just to show you that I'm not off the wall. You know the story about how Yeshua feeds the 5,000, right? I mean, here again, the unseen, the kingdom of heaven breaking through, breaking natural laws, taking a few loaves and fish and feeding 5,000. This is a message for you because there are some here who are looking at your 5 loaves and a couple fishes and you are living according to natural law. God wants to break in and shake up your world to know that there is something that is beyond the facts that you see, namely the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to break in with the unseen. So after this supernatural miracle, it said that, you know, this is from Mark. He takes, chapter 6, verse 45. Yeshua made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead. And later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And he started walking on the lake. Hello? What is he showing? That I am of a different dimension. Natural laws no longer apply. I can walk on water. He's showing us that he is more powerful than any problem that we might have that is bound by natural laws. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes, it breaks through the natural laws. And he says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. It says, for they had not understood about the loaves. Remember? Seeing, but not perceiving, hearing, but not understanding. Otherwise, they would turn and be healed. If you get this message, you can turn and be healed. What did the disciples not understand? That Yeshua was Lord from a different dimension, coming down, Son of the Father, to show us that there is an answer, that there is a way, that there is healing, that there is restoration, that there is deliverance, that there is something so powerful, awesome, wonderful in this other dimension. It's a Garden of Eden beyond Garden of Edens. Okay? It said they did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Their hearts were hardened. If that's true about them, how about us? How about us? And then it goes on and about the story about how Yeshua feeds the 4,000. And again, it's like at the people, look at his compassion. See, he has another thing. He's showing the heart of the Father. Showing the heart of the Father that loves us, the unseen. You know, all we see is our natural fathers. But there is our heavenly Father that loves us so unconditionally, so perfectly. And he is our real Abba. He is our real Father. And so he's showing us the heart of the Father, has compassion on the people. And then they're hungry. And the disciples just wanted to send them away. He said, no, because they've here, they're weary, they have nothing to eat. Give them something to eat. And the disciples still don't understand. Of course, and then he feeds the 4,000 out of a few loaves. And then he goes on and he teaches about the yeast of the Pharisees. And he says, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. And then they were discussing, they said, oh, I wonder why he's saying this. Is it because we have no bread? And Yeshua, you know, was aware of their discussion. He said, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. Do you still not understand? Was it Elisha who turned to his servant because he was all worried about the armies? And he said, you know, and he prayed and opened up their eyes and saw that the angels, the armies. Do you know that Enoch did not die? Elijah did not die. And there's going to be a company of believers that will not die at the time of Yeshua. And they're going to be translated right there. And why not believe that there is going to be a company of believers that are so manifesting the kingdom, just like Enoch, that it would be just the most natural sting just to step right into this other dimension. Because, you know, it says in Book of Acts, you know, when Dan was talking about how when you got into the user-friendly kind of church and gave up the supernatural, how can people come to faith? Because we're supposed to be like Yeshua, showing forth the kingdom. Because it's only when you're born again they get the chance to see the kingdom of God. So they need to see it breaking through and going against the natural laws. And there's several things that in Book of Acts chapter 2 that are not natural. It's not natural for people to live together in harmony and peace and love. The natural is fighting and wars and jealousy. You know, just see what's happening to the world today. That's the natural law of a heart that's turned against God. And it gets more and more hard. So what we need is something so powerful by the Holy Spirit to again be a witness, to be the John the Baptist preparing the way, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And to do those signs and wonders, just like Yeshua said to do, for his disciples to do. And it said in Acts 2, about them giving themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Here is a living witness right there of the kingdom of God breaking in. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. You know, we would think that most glorious thing would be alive when Yeshua is there. We get to touch him, feel him, you know, all the natural, you know, it's meeting our natural desires to touch, feel, you know, all our senses. But Yeshua said, I must go away because I've got something better for you. I've got the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that is going to live on the inside of you. It is a manifestation of the unseen. Amen? And this is so important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we do not lose heart, because when you lose heart, you're hardening your heart. Even though the times are tough, it's getting darker. You know, I don't like the news. I mean, it really brings you down. Oh, and then you get angry. But we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. This is our job today. Fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. These light and momentary troubles you're experiencing cannot be compared with the glory of the age to come. The glory that revealed in us even now. And to have our eyes of our heart opened to understand all that is available for us right now. So if you're suffering economic trouble, do you not understand the miracle of the loaves and the fishes? Do you not understand when Yeshua walked on the water? Or are our hearts hardened like the disciples? We need to have the roots of our faith to go deeper into the unseen, or it becomes more real than what we can touch and feel with our natural body. And this is where God wants us to be, because we are living in a world that is so blind, that is there's such darkness over the face of the earth, that I'm telling you, you just get a little spark going inside of your heart of the glory of God, revelation, it's going to shine in the dark place. And this is why it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, because darkness covers the earth. And I'm telling you, it is time to start moving out in signs and wonders again. It's a time to cast out demons. It is time to heal the sick. It is time to raise the dead. It's time for our marriages to get put back together again. It's time for the prodigals to come home, because this is the kingdom of God. Let's stand. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because there's times and seasons. Do you know that, you know, we harden our hearts, but also God hardens hearts. It's like did Pharaoh's heart. And he opens it up so that we can see. You know, it says a hardening has happened in part to Israel, that the fullness of the Gentiles might come in. But I believe that the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and there's this shift. And so I believe that there is a removing of blinders, that God has a moment. Can you imagine if we can see more into the unseen, just like Elijah's servant, and be able to see the provision, be able to see the victory, be able to see a reward, be able to see what is up ahead, and not to be afraid. As Moses was able to endure the hard times because he saw him who was invisible, that we are going to have our eyes of our heart open to see that which is invisible, and it'll become more real for us. And the old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, then the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And you know the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Yeshua died. And here Yeshua is standing right next to them. Our provision, our healing is standing right next to us. And we don't see it sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. What's right here? Right here. Right here. Right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow. But they were disappointed. And Yeshua just kind of egged them on a little bit. What are you discussing? Oh, you know, he talks about, and then he talks about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one going to redeem Israel. See, we had hoped. We had hoped. And then he goes on, how foolish, Yeshua says, you are, slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter the glory? So again, there's that little rebuke. Slow to believe. Lord, repent, Lord. I repent, Lord, being slow to believe. Oh. And he continued further, and they urged him to go with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. I don't know. I hope you have the Lord's Supper today, because I kept picturing us partaking of the Lord's Supper. You know, my mind was blown off when I began to think about the manna from heaven. That manna was not according to natural laws. It was manna from heaven. It contained some glory food so that their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Okay? It sustained them. It had all the vitamins they needed. It was superfood. And Melaleuca multiplied. But listen, it was heavenly food. In John 5, Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. And he said, if you don't eat of me and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Can we exercise our faith that when we partake of the Lord's Supper today, that our spiritual eyes would be opened just like these disciples? Woo! Because when he broke bread and their scales fall off their eyes and they saw him. They saw him. Wow. And then it goes on. Then he opened up their minds so that they can understand the scriptures. There is a Kairos moment, time spoken up in the book of Daniel, where things are sealed up until the time of the end. One of us, you know, one of our generations is going to be at the time of the end where these scriptures will be open to us in such a way, and also the unseen, and to be like an Enoch generation, to be able to just, you know, walk from one stage of glory to the next. Hallelujah. And why not some of our faces glow like Moses? Why not? Why not? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. That, Father, the scales are going to come off as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. That we will see that our provision is at hand. Our healing is at hand. Hallelujah. That all that we need, you have and you've provided. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll grant us repentance for our unbelief and stopping the believing in the supernatural, and that you have all authority. That, Lord, we've forgotten about you feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, and walking on the water and healing the sick. We forgot it. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Father, we want to believe with our whole heart. We want to get back there to be Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. That we don't want to no longer be the ham between the bread. We want to be the bread. Hallelujah. To be able to feed the lost and the hungry. Your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen.